Good afternoon, Richard. How are you?
Certainly very well indeed. In Oscar nominations week and also the London Critics Circle Film Awards too, where Pedro Almodovar was given a special award.
Yeah, Spanish director, of course, for many films, which I always find the films are quite arty and maybe a little bit off the beaten track, but very popular nonetheless.
Yes, he's got a special cult following, and it was really interesting, and he was accepting the Dilys Powell Award for Excellence in Film. He was also talking about, and I totally agree with this, the need to see films on the large screen.
Yeah. As
you know, this is a matter of much debate, and certainly debate when Netflix does so well at the Oscar nominations. No less than 15 went for those who... I mean, Netflix is obviously the great debate, isn't it, in Hollywood. Interesting if Roma were to win Best Picture, a Netflix film, a terrific breakthrough.
Yeah.
But also this issue of how you see a film. I mean, they had debates on this at Cannes, and of course it's very, very important for the future of how we actually view films.
I hope and pray we never see the death of the cinema. It's just somewhere which, you know, certain films I will certainly would go and watch at the cinema rather than, especially the big epics, I suppose. But then we don't want to lose any films at the cinema, I think. I mean, Netflix this year did do, I think, one or two films where they were released at the cinema first and then straight onto Netflix.
That is the current, shall we say, gimmick to qualify for awards. And, of course, it's worked very, very well at the Oscars. But it was interesting to hear on this, and also with Roma's enormous success. I mean, equaling Crouching Tiger, Hidden Dragon's record of 10 nominations for a foreign language film, and also including one for Best Picture. If Roma were to win, and it may very well win, at the Oscars, I think that it would be the first foreign language film ever to do so, which would be historic, no doubt about it.
I think it's great, I really do. And also, I suppose the way in which films are distributed, I mean, Netflix, you know, wasn't really around 15 years ago or however long it was. And even today, the film we're looking at today, which is Beautiful Boy, is an Amazon production. They must be shaking up the whole movie industry anyway.
Well, it is, and of course in Hollywood they've been resisting it. There's been a war, and you're wondering, and there was no doubt of the Oscars being the symbol, so to speak, of the ultimate symbol of acceptability. Does this mean that there's a certain reproach for? There certainly isn't at Cannes yet, and certainly not as far as the French film industry are concerned, and in France. So we will simply have to see. Of course, you could also argue that Alfonso Cuarón is much loved by the Academy. He won an Oscar for Gravity, and also he's done so well with Roma, and it's an autobiographical, semi-autobiographical film, which puts the spotlight on an indigenous Mexican housekeeper who brought him up, and it was wonderful to see Leticia Aparicio get a nomination at the Oscars for Best Actress for that. So it's all very possible. I mean, it'll be tremendously exciting come February the 24th, because I think we know who's going to win in all the acting categories at the Oscars. Nobody knows with the preferential voting system who will win Best Picture.
Any surprises, Richard, this week?
Well, there certainly were some surprises. I think the shock, I mean, I have to say that A Star is Born, my personal favourite, didn't do at all well at the London Critics Circle Film Awards, but the big shock, I think, among all the nominations for the Oscars, was that Bradley Cooper did not get a nomination for Best Director when he acted, directed, co-produced, and co-wrote A Star is Born. Now that, if you don't get that, and you don't get a nomination in the editing category, the chances really are that you haven't got a chance, because only Argo, Driving Miss Daisy, and one or two of the earlier films have actually won at the Oscars the Best Picture award without having had Best Director. So what we're looking at looks like a Roma win. But remember, always keeping the excitement alive with the preferential system. It's also been green booked that Peter Farrelly didn't get a nomination, or indeed conceivably the favourite, because Yorgos Lanthimos did, and it also got 10 nominations and very popular.
Okay, so it's exciting times, Richard, and we look forward to getting February coming, of course, and getting those Oscars. It's going to be a great night, by all accounts. And have they got a presenter of the awards?
No, it's been a very difficult year for the Academy. They haven't got a presenter after the debacle with Kevin Hart, and certainly they also had to withdraw the so-called popular film category, because there was such outrage earlier in the year when it was discovered that they hadn't really thought through the criteria. So, you know, they are pushed for ratings. The ceremony is only going to be 3 hours this year. The technical awards will be the ones that suffer. So some pressure on the Oscars. I mean, ABC have got a contract to do it, put the greatest show on earth on television until 2028. But very, very clearly, here's one definite danger. On the one hand, you expand the Academy membership by 2,000, including a large number from abroad. This was after the Oscar so white controversy.
Yeah.
Possible results of that, especially when you have a large number from abroad, is that they appreciate films made abroad, which has always been a case that the Academy frequently hasn't. And as a result, you get more movies like Roma, which I'm all for. Problem is, so many people don't see them, so the Academy will have to work their butt off.
But I wonder how many people do see them as a result of the Oscars. I mean, I know last year I went through a list of some of the films that did well at the Oscars and just had a time watching them. So it does bring more, spotlight to them, I should imagine, anyway.
Oh, they do. There's no doubt the Oscar winners do. But here is Hollywood's dilemma. If the films nominated are not already popular films, like Black Panther, for example, the first superhero film to be nominated, who is going to watch? That is the big difficulty when the ratings have slipped from 56 million watching Titanic in 1998, I think it was, to 26.5 million last year.
Yeah, well, they need to kind of see what's popular as well. I think that's got to be part of the equation. But anyway,
it has, absolutely.
Yeah. So moving on then, Richard, today we're looking at a film that really tickles my fancy, this one, Vice.
Well, I've got to ask at the beginning of this movie, I simply must ask, has Dick Cheney actually got a heart? Now, I say this because this is a movie which is a hatchet job. It is a ruthless, scathing denunciation of someone who was very little known. I mean, I don't think that number of people know. If they know the name, perhaps, but they said they didn't know much about him because he was so secretive. And the point is that because he was somewhat uncharismatic and little known, he wielded sensational amounts of power. He was the vice president under George W. Bush, but Bush was only too keen, as we see, to delegate. And I ask about the heart because we see him having several heart attacks during this film, and indeed the film actually has a fictional narrator whose heart is ultimately transplanted into Cheney's. Some rather bloody scenes there, I have to say. Putting it mildly, this film is it's not exactly the sort of tract where you would think it was anything other than it portrays Cheney as a ruthless, corrupt, power-crazed opportunist. And it was very funny. I attended a Q&A with the director, Adam McKay, and McKay said that he thought Cheney would love the film if he saw it, though his family would hate it. Now, I really can't see that. But the facts simply are, and they're borne out, what the film shows, borne out by what we know, is that after 9/11, Cheney saw something nobody else did. He saw opportunity. So he rose from being an alcoholic construction worker to the right-hand man of George W. Bush. And W. was only too pleased to give Cheney what he wanted, responsibility. Yeah. enormous power. They also ran Halliburton, the oil giant, and his policies undoubtedly affected millions who knew little or nothing about him. So we see Christian Bale as you've never seen him before. The way he's changed his appearance and put on weight to play Cheney is extraordinary. I mean, he inhabits this role of an uncharismatic monster with, I can only say, a zest. And the driving force behind him is wife Lynn, played by Amy Adams, who is wonderful as his ambitious spouse. I mean, they're the ultimate power couple in the world's only superpower, and also Sam Rockwell's got an uncanny resemblance to George W. Bush and is very convincing. Mm. The narration...
Absolutely, yeah.
Is done by a fictional character, Kurt, a veteran of the Afghan and Iraq wars, which Cheney and Defense Secretary Donald Rumsfeld, played by Steve Carell, fatefully initiate, and which leads to the rise of Islamic State terrorism. So this really is a movie which hates its subject, and it's also a bit zany. I mean, I've never before seen a movie where it's not just the documentary footage to back its case. It's the fact that you even see the credits roll early in part of the film, or there's the climactic moment when Cheney breaks the fourth wall to put his case to an audience, none of whom, or absolutely none of whom, could have anything else but hatred for him. It's an extraordinary movie, I have to say.
Yeah, it sounds great. And Christian Bale is virtually unrecognisable, isn't he?
You wouldn't know him. I mean, really, you wouldn't. Yeah. He has put on enough weight and, no question, enough to look totally convincing. I mean, he really has completely metamorphosed. I mean, I did think it's a very effective movie. It's almost, it relishes driving the putting in the knife to a certain extent. The only human trait the Cheneys show is a protection of one of their daughters who's a lesbian, but then only until her sister runs for Congress. So anyone expecting the Cheneys to show humanity or humility will get, well, no one I think would after seeing this movie, but I do think a lot of it is based on fact. It's a pretty uncontrovertible.
Ratings out of 5 then, Richard, on that?
Oh, it's getting 4. I mean, I enjoy a good attack, and this is ferocious.
Yeah, lovely. And moving on to, I don't know if it's lovely or not, but anyway, Beautiful Boy.
Beautiful Boy is very, very sensitive. This is a film directed by Felix van Groningen, and it's a touching and powerful film about drug addiction. Also, as it happens, starring Steve Carell.
In a non-comedy role, might I add.
Definitely a non-comedy role. He plays David Sheff, who's a writer for the New York Times, and who discovers his son Nick, played by Timothée Chalamet, is missing. He goes to rehab when he's been found and asks to be transferred to a halfway house, but then vanishes and is found on the street. And this is a recurring theme in the movie. When you're in rehab, when you try and kick the habit, and then you're back again and you are in relapse, and it's a disaster. And it's a movie about love and about the stresses and the strains on a relationship between father and son caused by a drug habit, which includes crystal meths and cocaine and heroin. It's a tough film to watch. It is an extraordinarily powerful film because of the superb performances by Steve Carell. Remember him in Foxcatcher, and as you say, a non-comic role. He often is in roles which are hilarious, but this is a father who wants to help and to understand, but ends up practically as tormented as the addict, who is, of course, his son Nick, played by Timothée Chalamet. Very touching, searing. So a very, very high price to pay for the independence that he craves. And, of course, Timothée Chalamet was so wonderful in Call Me By Your Name. And touching also Maura Tierney as Karen, who's in L.A., which is one of the places that Nick goes to try and kick the habit. I mean, this is a movie that rings true. It's often tough viewing. It's sincere. It's an intense experience.
It certainly sounds great. Because of time, Richard, we're going to have to get ratings out of 5 for that one as well, thanks.
Oh, definitely 4.5. It's a very fine film.
Good stuff. Now, what are we going to look at next week?
Next week we will be looking at... slightly caught me. Next week.
Not a problem, Richard. We'll announce it. If you can just send that through, we'll announce it. That's fine later on at some point. Not a problem. But if anyone wants to find you online, Richard, how can we do that?
I'm on www.richardfitzwilliams.com and on Twitter at @RFitzwilliams.
Richard, thank you very much. We'll speak again soon. You take care.
A great pleasure.
Bye-bye now. Richard Fitzwilliams there.